Today's speaker is Reverend Paul Kisho Stern, or Paul as most of us know him. He is speaking on reweaving our living tapestry, interdependence, compassion, community, and wisdom. In a time where the dominant narrative often seems to present a world marred by deep social, political, and cultural division, it can be tempting to withdraw, harden, or lose faith in our shared community. This reflection offers a different invitation: to reclaim the world as sacred through the simple, courageous act of living in presence and meeting one another right here where we stand. And Paul will give an introduction more about himself as he speaks to us today. Welcome.
I'm going to bring ourselves into a space together a little bit. So I'm going to invite you to put your feet on the floor, kind of loosen up your abdomen a little bit. Yeah, let your breath come in. So we'll just all together as one huge group, we'll take a big breath in, and we'll exhale. One more. Deep breath in. This time as you exhale, we'll just kind of hold that space until you don't hear the bell any longer. Yeah, breathing. That most intimate act where we take the entire universe and we bring it inside of us. We have an opportunity to take the universe from out there and bring it in here to fuel everything that we do in the course of every single day. Amazing. So thank you once again for inviting me to be a part of this gathering with the United Unitarian Universalist Group. It's always a wonderful opportunity to have the chance to come and share and learn together. As mentioned, my name is Paul Stern. I often go by Kisho as well. That's, for me, a reminder of the work that I'm doing as a priest to come back into a space of meeting life right where it's at in every single moment. So it doesn't matter to me whether you call me Paul or Kisho, but I'll be thinking Kisho on the inside most of the time. So I'm a senior priest and teacher in the Zen Garden. Us, we're Winona's very own meandering source of encountering and engaging the muddy waters of human existence and supporting our growth in it through ongoing holistic human development. How's that for a run-on sentence? So today I'd like to talk a little bit about this strange and magnificent world of ours. I was reminded recently when talking with a good friend and someone whose perspective I deeply admire. His name's Manny, Manny Cornazos, and he's a boxing instructor here in town, but he's much more as well. And Manny reminded me that we're always in a space surrounded by all kinds of energy in our conversation, and that part of our journey is to amplify, to support, and to in our world. I love that. It's kind of like that random act of kindness piece. Manny teaches this through the ennobling art of boxing. Through the ennobling art of boxing. This is his place where he reclaims the world as sacred in a space of innumerable gateless gates that we have the opportunity to walk through, where we have the opportunity to encounter and find the sacred. So that is what I would like to explore today. How we encounter that space that Manny is pointing to in boxing. Where do we find that? So here we go. So in a time where the dominant narrative often seems to present a world marred by social, political, and cultural division, it can indeed be tempting to withdraw, to harden, or to lose faith in our shared humanity. Good news is, and we'll get to that later, there's no humanity to find, so there's nothing to lose in the first place. It seems that there should be broader maybe to reclaim the world as sacred through the simple and courageous act of living in presence and meeting one another right here, right where we're at. So I've felt challenged to find ways to connect in my world these days. The media doesn't really capture my lived experience. Social media doesn't do it. I can barely figure out how to work Instagram. And there's a pervasive sense of imperfection, of unease, and imbalance, kind of like the wobble of my road bike that I ride around way too often in the winter and that hit too many curbs. That kind of unease of that roll that goes forward. In Buddhist practice, we call that dukkha. Some people call it suffering. It's kind of more like the wobbling of a wheel in that sense. So I don't feel this as a space that I'll be able to today clearly articulate or really capture as an idea to share with anyone. This is going to be more of a meandering and a walk. Maybe most of us don't encounter this kind of thing as an idea, but we encounter it more as a felt shift, or before we're able to articulate it into a word. Rather, it's perhaps like a tightening we feel in our body. A quicker judgment that we pass when we encounter a colleague or when we see an acquaintance. A subtle decision that we have to stop showing up in a space, a sort of disassociative kind of response that we have, an urge to curl up and maybe stop connecting, to isolate and silo up, to stop feeling, to put up ideological, emotional, and very real barriers and dig in. I guess my sense is that this kind of amygdala-based response doesn't really cut it for me, and it doesn't for a variety of reasons, and I'll get into that a little bit here. I feel like we have a deeper opportunity to reclaim the world, most difficult, ourselves, as sacred. Not by fixing any part or idealizing what is wrong, but through the simple, courageous act of meeting one another and all the parts of ourselves right here where we stand and figuring and feeling out what comes next with a sense of compassion, a sense of wisdom, and with ongoing embodied ethical maturation and engaged social responsibility to create an emergent present and not really merely accept things as they are. So today, I'll offer a path along these lines in three quick movements. We'll talk about orientation, we'll talk about cultivation, and a little bit about embodiment that affords some further thought and may give folks an actionable space to move into, or any of an innumerable number of spaces to move into. Here we have an opportunity to explore the threads of our life as a tapestry, being woven like a web without a weaver, in a space of interdependence, in a space of compassion, in a space. Here's the map. They're not stages, they have no real hierarchical structure, they're not based on the work of any other author, they're just a reflection and meditation that came forward over the last few weeks. They're lenses available, perhaps in every moment, that give us a sort of shifting of our perceptive aperture that we can hold on to a bit. So how do we work with our orientation? Excellent question. So we begin with this space of how do I understand the world that I'm living in? Is it fragmented? Is it relational parts of it? Am I talking about myself as an individual, myself as a family, a part of a community, my part of a larger ecology that I'm in? Is it something that I have to manage, that I get to make decisions on, that I have an impact on out there? Or is it something that I belong to, that moves with me as I move? How do we orient ourselves within our world, or how we orient ourselves within our world presents an important aspect of how we are afforded opportunities to move with and within it. It also provides us a space where we can understand and move with our impact in the world through understanding ourselves and the ways we weave as integral parts of other groups and systems. I'll talk about this a little bit in five perspectives in just a minute. Cultivation was the next piece. How do I train myself to stay present within complexity? What am I staying present to? What is staying present? Or who? Many Chinese and Japanese-based practices, martial arts, meditation kind of things, this ongoing kind of human development called Shugyo. In the 1883 gathering of world religions that happened in Chicago, this term was mistranslated as religion when we were talking about Zen and Buddhism. What Shugyo talks about is ongoing holistic human development. It starts with the premise that not only are we able to have impact across all the dimensions of our life, but that our intent, our energy, and practice areas. And then the last piece is embodiment. What does it look like in real moments? What happens when we take a practice, it in all the contexts we refer to as our real life? When we move outside of the zendo and we move into the world, when we move outside of the dojo and we generalize the learning that happened in that space, in this place we refer to as the real life. Realizing our life is a seamless integration across numerous contexts and are shaped by. How can we grow continuously through practice and engaging presence to have our best selves come forward in disagreement, in grief, in spaces of injustice, in ordinary encounters, in joy, in concerts, at good dinners, in all of it, the whole enchilada. So there's not a single answer, but a space of engagement, of presence, and of dialogue. The sacred becomes visible or not here, where our foot hits the earth. So let's jump in just a little bit. The five perspectives, maybe duality, this or that, me or them, big or small, inside or outside. So this idea around five perspectives that I'll get into a little bit challenges us to live beyond the familiar habit of these kind of dualisms. It challenges us not to deny difference, but to challenge reduction. What this invites us to do in a way is inhabit life where meaning is not merely subjective, my opinion, my truth, versus their opinion and their truth, not imposed from above or below or from the sides, but where power and responsibility in that space. So within our order, these perspectives function as correctives to collapse into certainty. I know it to be this way, collapse into identity, I am this, ideology or isolation. So let's take a look at these five perspectives really quick as like a space that we could use for understanding this weaving that happens between the individual, collective, and ecological life I referred to earlier. So totality, the whole thing, stands outside. Totality challenges the illusion that we can locate ourselves outside the systems we critique. There's some pretty big implications for that. As individuals, it confronts the fantasy of moral purity or detachment. As collectives, it challenges us to see that our institutions, our cultures, and histories are not external problems. They're fields we are already participating in. So what totality asks us, and let's just sit with this for a minute, what are we part of? The next of these perspectives is mutuality, the idea that nothing exists alone. So mutuality disrupts the idea of the isolated self and the self-sufficient group. As individuals, it challenges the belief that our choices are private. As collectives, it reveals that policies, norms, and narratives shape and are shaped by real bodies, real lives. So let's sit with this for just a minute. Mutuality asks, who is being affected by what? Third perspective that we'll look at is unity. Difference rests on shared ground in this space. So unity challenges the assumption that difference implies opposition. As individuals, it invites us to recognize shared vulnerability beneath divergent identities. As collectives, it calls us to hold common humanity without erasing real differences, real power, real harm. Unity asks, and let's hold this for just a second, what remains shared even here? This next one's tricky. No thing at all, the infamous nothingness or no thingness, no fixed positions. This one gets a little unsettling for folks at times. So no thing at all challenges our attachment to stable identities, final explanations, or the idea that we'll ever reach them is unfinished. It's not a noun, it's a verb, and it's built with all of us, or the possibility that that is an aspect of it. And that clinging too tightly to roles, to beliefs, or narratives can freeze our ethical responsiveness. The no thing at all asks, where am I mistaking a position, a perspective, for reality itself? The rest of these perspectives is the intimate particular that we walk in, everything that we share. Pebble falling in the water has ecological ripples that come out across space and time. So the intimate particular challenges abstraction. As individuals, it brings us back to tone, to timing, to presence, and to care. As collectives, it insists that values must show up in concrete practices, not just stated commitments. It asks, what is actually being asked of me right here, right now? Or is really coming forward as me right here, right now? So maybe this movement from that space of discontent, that malaise, is one that looks at moving from duality to integration, from this or that to like seeing the spaces of interconnection, from having nouns that we solidify into unchanging kind of realm. For me, these five perspectives present an opportunity to challenge us to move beyond binary thinking without dissolving accountability. They show us that meaning is not merely subjective, it's contextual. Imposed, they are relational. Identity is not fixed, it is responsive. And responsibility does not end at intention, it unfolds in consequence, presenting not a relativism, but an ethical activity of maturation. So to live in a space that allows identity as though it were the aperture of a camera provides us as individuals and communities to discover a world beyond simple duality, where meaning arises not from taking sides, but from learning how to stay in relationship. How to stay in relationship with complexity. It's reclaiming the world as sacred. In this light, reclaiming the world as sacred does not mean declaring it whole. It means learning how to live within its interdependence without retreat and without domination. The sacred emerges not from certainty, but from integration, not from standing apart, but from standing together and participating wisely. So then how do we cultivate this? Finding your own space of practice where you're able to live in a sense of ongoing development and growth. This is holding open space with curiosity and a suspension of judgment. So within our practices at Zen Garland and Dharma River, we talk about this through vow practice happens. That provide for engaging in development at individual, collective, and system levels. Each activity provides that kind of access based on our orientation in that space. Looks at ways that we can keep and cultivate bringing awareness at each of these levels. So there's, for us, those levels exist in maintaining mentorship with a teacher in a variety of different settings, in maintaining a meditation practice, a Zazen practice, in serving in service to a community, in showing up in embodiment, in not having ourselves only be thinking beings, but embodied beings, moving with intention, maintaining a sense of responsibility in our interactive relationship with nature, having an ecological awareness and responsibility as well. That ethical maturation piece is an ongoing piece of process that includes engaging in therapeutic spaces as well as finding any of a variety of myriad of ways that we pull together to make sure that we're cultivating that emotional, psychological, psychosomatic kind of connection as well. Ongoing study and ceremony. For us, those are like eight stalwart places that we can lean into that give us an opportunity to lean into that. But where is your space? Where do you practice? For a doctor, it might be in a medical environment when you come forward and you have to like realize diagnosis in a living being. Take all of your learning and consolidate that into a space of decision making where you have agency to have impact, to move an entire individual, to move a system in that way. It may be in a Tai Chi, Qigong, outdoor hiking kind of embodiment. Meeting the world where it is. So how do we take anything that we engage in as practice in the course of our lives that we're looking at to provide a space of ongoing cultivation that gives us that opportunity to both encounter and move, encounter ourselves and move beyond ourselves in that way? How do we embody that in a way that we end our time together today with a meta-style reflection? But before we jump in, that generalizing our practice is not an activity that comes to take place in a specific sacred space or at a specific time. But when it's at its best, it seems it's rather a way of being woven into the fiber of all of what we experience. How can we support a space that allows each moment and all of our perspectives to be present in our individual, collective, and system levels of being? How do we weave in that way? So as we engage in this meta-style reflection, I'm going to invite everyone, as you are comfortable doing so, to either close your eyes or soften your gaze. I'm going to grab my buddy the bell. Buddhist with a bell will travel. We're going to contact with place, this intimate particular. Feel your body supported by the space you're in, the floor, the chair, the air. And for just the time that we hear the bell going, silently offer, may I meet this moment just as it is. Taking an opportunity to contact with community, mutuality, bring to mind their similarities, their differences, their shared vulnerabilities. And as we listen to the bell, hold this. May we meet one another with care and courage. So in expanding that outward, contacting with the larger whole, that sense of totality, that sense of unity, I invite you to widen your awareness to the land beneath Mississippi, to the creatures, the big creatures, the really small creatures, the flying creatures, the generations past, now, and future. And in that space, offer, may this world be held as sacred through our actions. Last space, that resting space, no thing at all. Let all phrases fall away and all descriptions. Take a moment, connect with that intimate exchange that we began in simple presence. So I'll invite everybody to come back. Not that you really went anywhere. So thanks for going on this walk with me. Reclaiming the world as sacred is a really important part of, for me, what I devote the energy of my life to. It doesn't begin elsewhere, but for us, for our communities, for those systems. Realizing it doesn't begin elsewhere, it begins wherever we're willing to stay present. Perhaps reclaiming the world as sacred is less about fixing what's broken and more about learning to weave together what is already there. A living tapestry of lives, of histories, of differences and similarities and possibilities. Where there's no single weaver standing apart from this work. We're woven as we weave. Through presence, through relationship, through the simple choice to stay. It's through this space that we manifest compassion, that we manifest wisdom, that we embody connection, through which we have access to live our best individual and collective lives. There's no universal blueprint, I don't think, anyway, ethical maturation within. That is what I came up with as an alternative to coming back in, isolating and disconnecting, to finding that space of agency, to realizing the sacred in each conversation, in each interaction, in each trip through the co-op, each book you check out at the library, every time you're sitting at the stoplight, all of it. Thank you. Not very likely that I have any answers.